Chapter 3, Come What May. A cricket chirp interrupted the celebrations. The professor picked up his phone and glanced at the message. "Rachel needs my advice," he relayed to Evan. "The iguanas have been fighting again." With a shrug, Evan nodded. Professor Jack Slamans oversaw everything that happened in the rainforest biome. "I'll tidy up," he offered. Clapping his assistant on the back, the professor took one more sip of champagne. "I'll be back in half an hour," he assured him. "Enjoy watching the animals discover paradise. We need to finish our celebration." Rushing into the elevator passageway, the professor didn't take a ride down into his underground laboratory, but instead darted left to go through a second set of sliding doors, which opened up into a long corridor. This corridor took him through the train loading and supply area, and then into the locked viewing hall, which had been built for the occasion when paradise would become a public exhibit in the rainforest biome. At the end, another locked door opened up into the mirrored hall right near the reptile cafe. Rachel Khalid was standing outside the door. With a twinkle in her pretty blue eyes, she observed the professor's disheveled appearance. "I'm so curious about what you do in there," she confessed. "You will be one of the first to know all about it," Jax promised the lovely dark-haired woman. Rachel Khalid was the head veterinarian at the Greenville Biosphere. She and her husband had immigrated from Israel and been supportive of almost everything the professor had ever suggested should happen in the biosphere. Often he wondered what they would think of the Paradise Project. He desperately hoped they would both be on his side. "You always say I'll be the first to know," she teased, "but you've been saying that for the last 4 years. When will I know, Jax?" With a lengthy pause, Jax looked at her and smiled. Rachel rarely pressed hard, and he yearned to tell her everything and show her all around. Paradise was better than he had imagined. But he knew he couldn't. Not just yet. "I hope the new display will be open next summer," he said earnestly. "If not, at least by the end of next year." "You've no idea how mystified I am," she laughed. "Everyone is. Everyone that knows, that is," she clarified quickly. "We haven't told anyone that you spend so much time in there."
"And we is just the three of you?" Jax confirmed. "Yes, yes. Farouk and I and Tim." Farouk was Rachel's husband, and Tim was the maintenance man. Rachel and Tim noticed everything that went on in the public part of the rainforest biome. "So, there's been another lizard battle," Jax inquired, trying to change the subject and hoping to get back in time to celebrate with Evan. "Come have a look at Bert," she said, leading him in behind the spectacular 10-meter-high waterfall. A plexiglass tunnel kept the small animal care center safe and dry from the cascading water on the other side. Large, clear aquariums lined the farm wall. Rachel pointed to the green iguana that had been attacked. Deep scratches adorned his front leg. Crouching perfectly still inside his glass walls, the iguana's eyes roved in various directions. "This is the fourth time poor Bert has been mauled," she complained, pointing to the wounds which had already been cleaned. "I think it's time we had Timbo shipped to a pet store or rehomed. He is far too aggressive."
"I agree," Jax nodded sadly, gazing at the old scars from former battles on Bert's shoulder. "Timbo is a beauty, but Bert has a gentler disposition. If I had to choose between them, I'd pick Bert."
"Wonderful, then we both agree," Rachel smiled. "I'll call the pet store in the morning."
"Thanks so much for all that you do, Rachel," Jax expressed earnestly. "I always know the animals and birds are in competent hands. I appreciate you asking me for advice on the iguanas, but I'm also quite happy for you to act on your own good judgment."
"Thank you," she smiled. "Maybe I could also inquire if the pet store wants a macaw."
No, not Molly," Jax called out in mock dismay. He knew Rachel would never give Molly away, even if the colorful bird did have a nasty habit of nipping whenever Rachel had to handle her. Sharing a laugh, the two parted company, and Jax Lemans returned to the mirrored hallway. Since it was after 7, the biome was closed for the day, and Tim, the maintenance man, had gone home. Rachel was still in the care center, so Jax took a drop floor exit so he could check on the tinies. Leaving the lights off so the children wouldn't see him as he walked past, the professor gazed fondly into the glowing nursery. Louis was attempting to help Odin read a novel, but Odin was flailing his arms up in frustration and trying to slip away. A group of girls were drawing with markers, and some of the boys were playing tag from room to room. Tomorrow, he thought. They will finally have space to run and play. There will be so much for them to do. With a happy smile, he murmured, I can't wait for tomorrow. Riding the elevator upstairs, the professor was glad to see Evan was still in the paradise room, and all the tools were sterilized and back in the bin. Having finished cleaning up, Evan was watching the animals frolic in the grass. How did that go? Evan asked. Well enough, Professor Lemans replied. Bert was badly scratched again, so we've decided to put Timbo up for adoption. They discussed Timbo's past misdeeds and agreed he had to go, even though he was undeniably the biggest and best specimen of his kind, and fondly named by the maintenance man. Rachel asked again when Paradise will be open to the public, the professor relayed. I do wish she could have been in on this from the beginning. Rachel would have a lot to offer, Evan agreed. She's a mom. She has keen insights. The girls especially would benefit from a female mentor. He waggled his blonde eyebrows. But then she'd be an accomplice. If the world doesn't perceive this research experiment as well as we hope they will. With a deep sigh, the professor nodded. Yes, best to keep her in the dark until we're ready to reveal the happiest place on Earth to everyone. Surely the benefits of this research will outweigh a few questionable ethics. And if they don't, Evan smiled. The professor turned to him. As I've said many times, I sincerely hope this experiment won't cause you any disadvantage, Evan, he implored. You know I will take all the blame, whatever it is. Regardless of whether or not they take away my research capabilities or imprison me, or call you a mad scientist, Evan grinned.
Sir Alors, whatever they do to me, this project has been the restoration of real joy in my life. If everything is perceived in a negative light, which I certainly hope it will not, I trust that my relationship and care for the Tinies will be seen as an integral part of their survival. I know many teams will be sent in to manage their lives and oversee everything that goes on. Sure hope no one sues us.
It is a possibility, Professor Lemans admitted thoughtfully, but if everyone falls in love with the Tinies, they may not. The world may donate to our cause instead. Reaching out to clap Evan on the shoulder, the professor assured him, Whatever they do, I will cover for you the best that I can, I promise. And I will never regret my part in this. Many scientists have been misunderstood and blacklisted as a result of their investigations and discoveries. The world doesn't always understand, initially. Think of how they treated Galileo and Marcello Malpighi or Gerhard Domacke. Or the physician who discovered that hand washing was the key to preventing disease, Evan added.
Ah, yes. Ignaz Semmelweis, he agreed. Good example.
So I may pay heavily for my opportunity to advance scientific knowledge, but I'd rather pay and contribute something significant than live my life as a free man, never exploring the insights and opportunities that have come my way. After all, the end justifies the means. Evan looked up. The professor often made reference to the end justifying the means, and Evan wasn't entirely sure it was right. Did the end always justify the means? Gazing wistfully at the two puppies dashing around the orchard, Evan asked, Do you sometimes wish we could just keep this a secret forever? For longer, yes, the professor nodded, but since we've come to realize how fast the Tinies age, we must share this experiment while they are still in their prime. No one will be enamored by a world full of aging, dying creatures. So true, Evan agreed, watching the beagle pup playfully approach the orange-striped cat and quickly jump back with a scratch to his nose. He chuckled, and then with a nod, he reiterated the professor's concerns. We must share paradise with the world in a year or two, or we will have no hope of a positive response. Turning to look at the professor steadfastly, Evan said, I want you to know that whatever happens to us as a result of this, I will always be thankful to have taken part in the most exciting, creative, phenomenal research project that I could ever imagine. This, he affirmed, gesturing towards the dome, has fulfilled every aspiration I ever had to be a scientist. And without you, I would have failed to accomplish my dream, the professor smiled, picking up his half-empty glass of champagne. He presented a toast. To you. To us, to successful miniaturization, to a family of Tinies, and to an opportunity to show the world that true happiness can be found in a kinder and safer environment.